You know, when we were at our table discussing those questions and discussing the importance of the resurrection to Christianity, you know, talking about what is Christianity without the resurrection, something Paul wrote came to mind. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which will be a part of the daily reading for this coming week, if you've been doing that, he talks about the significance of the resurrection to us, and he says in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." That's a pretty bold statement, and it reminds us of how significant the reality of the resurrection is to us. And we can say what we want to say about Thomas and his apparent lack of faith, but I can't help but wonder if it was any one of us in his place, would we react any differently? I can't help but wonder when I look at this picture, and Steve and I talked about that earlier too. I'm really compelled just as much by the two other disciples in the picture as I am by Jesus and Thomas, because they were there 8 days prior when Jesus showed up and they knew all this, but they're still like, whoa, he's touching him. You know, like, I just wonder, you know, was there something about Thomas that he was bold enough to ask for what the other disciples weren't? I don't know. It's just a thought. But we talk about the significance and the importance of the resurrection to us and to our faith with the reality that we cannot, at this point in time, physically see or experience it. We have the promise from Scripture that we one day will. But right now we have to accept it as reality without laying our eyes on it. I've been reading recently A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God, and it's been a great read. I encourage anyone to pick it up. But just a couple nights ago, I read a chapter in the book that he wrote that's called Apprehending God. And it deals a lot with this issue of how we are people that are so enamored by needing to experience things with our five senses. And everything around us appeals to us because we can touch it, because we can see it, because we can smell it or taste it or hear it. And that's what makes things real to us. If we can have that tangible proof, then it's easier for us to believe. And it's something that becomes real. But what he argues is that the unseen has to be just as real for us in order to live lives of faith. He writes, "A spiritual kingdom lies all about us, enclosing us, embracing us, altogether within reach of our inner selves, waiting for us to recognize it. God himself is here waiting our response to his presence. This eternal world will come alive to us the moment we begin to reckon upon its reality." He spends a lot of time talking about what he means by those words, reckoning upon its reality. And just coming to an understanding that spiritual may not be the same as physical, but that doesn't mean that spiritual is not the same as real. Now, there's certainly a physical component to Jesus' resurrection, and again, one day we have the hope that we will experience that, ourselves, because Paul talks about us experiencing a physical resurrection, that we're not just departing from our bodies at death, never to return. We have the hope that we get better bodies, which is cool. But there's still a physicality to it. Because that's how God created us in the beginning, and we talked about that when we talked about Genesis way back in January. What we really need to do in order to apprehend God is to reach out and take hold of, so to speak, the spiritual in the same way that we would take hold of the physical. And so we need to embrace the resurrection as reality, even when we can't see it or touch it. Now, yes. Now, absolutely. It's not just something that happens in the future. It's a part of who we are now. And so he says at the root of the Christian life lies belief in the invisible. The object of the Christian's faith is unseen reality. And I just, as I read that these past few days, I've just really been thinking about the reality of it. You know, Jesus said to his disciples after he was raised and before he ascended, you know, I will be with you always. And, you know, when he ascends, he physically leaves their presence, but there's still some sense of a spiritual presence with us. But we can only grasp hold of that by faith. And so God requires us to have faith in the resurrection. He requires us to have faith in what we can't see because it's so much more a part of how he designed us. And just so you don't think I'm talking solely out of, you know, one person's ideas, Paul said himself in Scripture, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I think that's so much of what Jesus communicated through his resurrection, is that the things that you hold to in this world pass away and they die, but I have returned to show you that I have conquered death. And when you believe in me, you can conquer these things that pass away that were never a part of God's original plan. And that's so much of what redemption is about. Restoring us to how he had created us to be. And that's really where this story is going. And that's really everything from Genesis 4 on is God working to bring things back. And this is such a significant point in the story, really the climax where things start to turn because we enter into a new reality. So originally when we were talking about the plans for this night, because we've already talked a lot about the stories of the resurrection, we said, you know, this is a significant night. We want to devote a lot of time to it. And so the thought originally was to continue on and looking ahead into parts of the New Testament and seeing how important this event is by how much it's referred to by Paul and by the other writers of the New Testament, because Jesus' death and his resurrection really becomes the foundation for our faith. It's the thing that sets us apart. It's the thing that we believe makes us a new creation that brings us back into the presence of God. And so the idea was to present how the theology of Christ's death and resurrection developed. And as I was working on preparing for that and praying through it and thinking about it and listening to other things that were said and talking with Dory and talking with Steve, I had this kind of different thought approach me. And it was, as much as we could get into the deep theology in the New Testament of Jesus' death and resurrection, the reality of it is this. What the death and the resurrection of Jesus means for us is simply that it is our point of entry into God's story. That's what it really comes down to. So we could spend a lot of time talking about what the writer of Hebrews has to say, and there's a lot in there, and it's really good stuff. We can talk about numerous lengthy passages in Romans where Paul just emphasizes how important Jesus' death and resurrection is to us, and how when we believe, we become identified with Jesus. And it takes me back to a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Jesus being incarnate and coming to earth as a human to identify with us. And the point of that being that when we come to faith in him, we get identified with him the way it was originally intended. And so there's so many things we could look at and so many things that are so valuable to look at, but the reality of it is, no matter how deep we go, as we've been talking about all of the Bible in the language of story, this is the point where we get back into the story. This is the point where God's story and our story intersect. And we have the amazing privilege through what Jesus did for us to join God in the story that he's writing and to have our stories drastically changed by it. And so instead of spending the rest of the time looking up a bunch of different verses and talking about the meaning of them, I want us to spend time talking about our stories. Because I believe our stories are different because of this point in the story. I will cite one verse because I have it on the handout and it's a good one. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus," and Julie did an amazing job talking about what that means to enter the holy places last week, that idea of coming into the very presence of God, and he says here that that is made possible by the blood of Jesus. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Jesus' blood was shed so we could draw into God's presence, so we could enter into his story. So we're going to spend about 15 minutes at our tables, at your tables. And I want you to talk about how Jesus' death and resurrection has intersected with your story. How has it become personal for you in the way that it became personal for Thomas, in the way that it became personal for those disciples? And there are different ways you can think of this. You could think of this as your salvation story. I think that's probably the first place that we go to when we think of what Jesus' death and resurrection means to us. But for some, maybe our salvation story seems like a long time ago. And I don't believe that the reality of the death and resurrection stops impacting us once we come to that saving moment. So maybe you think about someone at some point in your life who has demonstrated the reality of the resurrection to you. Someone whose life is filled with that presence of God and that power that raised Jesus from the dead that Steve talked about earlier. Or maybe it's something you've experienced just very recently that has been transforming for you, that has shown you that, yes, Jesus is still alive and well, and he is working in my life today. So let's take the next 15 minutes or so and talk about those things.